Now for the Democratic message, we go to Senator John Scott, a Democrat from Columbia.
Hi, I'm State Senator John L. Scott, Jr., and I'm joining you tonight from our state capitol. Those of us who call South Carolina home can agree that we are a great state, one rich in history and full of strength. Having served almost 30 years in the legislature, I hope you can agree with me. It is time for a change. Tonight, I could use this opportunity to contradict everything that the Governor McMaster has said, rally my party's base, and raise my own political profile. But that won't get us anywhere. That would not do anything to help the father who's too tired to help his children with their homework because he works two jobs to pay the bills and put food on the table. It would not do anything to help the teacher who works an extra shift at Walmart because all the professional training and expertise doesn't translate into professional wages. It would not help the grandmother in Bamberg or Fairfield County whose doctor left the rural county because the local hospital closed, and now she has to drive more than an hour for treatment. All the while, her medical cost keeps going up and up. Sure, we could continue down the same path that we traveled last year, but that would not help the children in our communities whose mouths are filled with cavities because the only job mom and dad can find is working part-time at some big box store or telemarketing center that doesn't provide dental insurance. Other small business owner who is facing some of the highest health care and energy costs in the nation. Other truck drivers who are risking their lives every day while driving on roads and bridges that are crumbling beneath them. All the state employees who continue to work without a pay raise. Other countless police officers and firefighters who are watching a pension disappear. I appreciate our governor and his comments on our state, but all the promises and platitudes in the world will not change the facts. One out of every three jobs in the state pay less than $25,000 per year, and women earn 27% less than men. We have one of the lowest per capita income in America. Promises won't change that, but action could. Imagine what would happen if we came together and gave the teachers and state employees the raise that they deserve. Imagine what would happen if we stop wasting time and energy and resources we spend every year arguing about private schools and start listening to the growing numbers of voices, joining the Democrats to invest in and improve our public schools and make higher education affordable and available to all. Imagine what would happen if we built an economic bridge between our urban and rural communities that would benefit both with better education, health care, jobs, and more opportunities. Imagine if we listened to our friends and neighbors and local leaders and stood up to the corporate polluters who would destroy our lakes and rivers and forests and coastline, all for the sake of out-of-state stakeholders. Imagine if one bad choice didn't have to follow you the rest of your life. Or imagine the parent not having to worry about the child's safety during a routine traffic stop. Right now, 50,000 South Carolinians work hard every day but still can't go to the doctor when they're sick because the governor will not expand Medicaid. But it doesn't have to be that way. Yes, I could spend my time debating with the governor and his party and blame them for the hard times our families are facing here in South Carolina. After all, they've controlled both the House and the Senate and the governor's office for a generation. But I'm not interested in blaming someone for our problems. I'm interested in solving them. So instead, let us use this opportunity to invite the governor and my friends on the other side of the aisle to join us as we launch a new contract for working families, a new vision for South Carolina, and what people of this state should expect. I'm talking about not having another empty promise or political pledge. I'm talking about a vow, simple yet solemn and sacred to the people, a vow met with real action and new direction. We will raise wages so that an honest day's worker receive an honest day pay. We will rebuild our roads and bridges, making them safe and will make health care and higher education affordable and accessible. We will protect the environment, invest in our communities, and ensure greater opportunities and equal justice for all. I invite the governor and his party to join us, not next week or after the next election, but right now, because it's time for change. And if we do not come together, then none of us deserve to be here. Thank you, and may God continue to bless South Carolina.
And that was Senator John Scott delivering the Democrat message. But right now I'm getting joined by some lawmakers and Representative Anderson here. What did you think about the governor's speech tonight? It was unique. There was a lot that we've already heard. But what stood out to you, sir?
Well, what stood out to me is the governor addressed some things that we've been talking about 15 years that I've been here. This is my 15th year. And I was happy to hear him talk about the things that we've been dealing with and talking about and asking for. So as a Democrat, I was very happy. The governor did an excellent speech. He brought through some stuff. We loved the part about education. He talked about a 5% raise for all teachers. I'd like to see teachers get more than that. I was just out to Arizona mid-December for a Heartland Institute, and Arizona gave a 20%, 10 the first year, 5 the next 2 years. So we're really going to beef up on that to try to get more than 5% for the teachers. We would like to see school districts consolidated. There are some school districts across the state needs to be consolidated. And the other thing, the technical institution, the money that he's going to put there is excellent, because I'm a graduate of Ori Georgetown Technical College. So that's one beef. Williamsburg Technical College was used as a pilot this year with students for no tuition, and it was a wonderful time. What he talked about, the colleges, no increases, 6% across the board each college is going to get. That's great, because it's a hardship. With paying back tuitions and everything, these students leave college with a degree, and hey, they've got an excel of $100,000+ in debt. So those were great things. The other part when he talked about the ports of South Carolina, and I'm so glad the governor thought about the letter that I wrote him, the conversations that I've had to him. He did an excellent job during the hurricane and the flood coming through Georgetown, Horry County, and other counties, and he mentioned it tonight. It's in black and white. He's going to make sure that the port of Georgetown is also dredged.
Good,
that's something
sir.
That we've been fighting for a long time. So I look forward to working with the governor, working with the lieutenant governor, and the Democrats. We are expecting him to do what he said. Great speech tonight, Governor. Thank you once again. We look forward to a great working relationship.
Thank you very much, Representative. Appreciate it. I'm about to be joined by Senate Judiciary Chairman Luke Rankin. Good to see you, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Good. We got some Senate leadership on this show today. What did you think about the governor's speech? What jumped out to you? We actually heard him being really firm with offshore drilling. Anything else, maybe?
Well, without a doubt, that's one of the highlights. But I want to comment on the entire theme, the tone, and the reception that he got. It's been a long time since that full chamber, or that chamber has been full. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is a great sign for him and for us. Truly a guy who wants to work with us to work for the people. And so I'm really excited about that. And again, in respect to him, his new term, great, great turnout for him and a lot of enthusiasm in our
Senator,
in our
why do you think that there is maybe more of a teamwork environment going forward with the governor at this point? I mean, I know we had some rough and tumble between the governors in the past and the lawmakers in the House and the Senate. What's changed in your opinion right now?
Well, Governor McMaster is a person who obviously is open about his agenda. There's no secret side subtle chess game with him. It's a checkers game, and it's smart politics. I don't agree with all of it, but certainly it's been refreshing so far not to be the enemy. We're all in this together. We are one team. And so I'm excited about that. Seismic drilling, without a doubt, a highlight. Tacking a little differently on the Santee Cooper piece.
Yeah.
Not to
about
sell it,
in the speech too.
But keeping an open mind. And so as he talks about economic development and the cost to our economy, there are folks in our area, in Horry County particularly, and the service area that will have a far greater price increase on their utilities if we sell this and we lose that tax advantage.
And are we going to be able to tackle all that? I know last year was really the year of SCNG. Santee Cooper almost seems like it's kind of getting a little bit back burner, at least from lawmakers and priorities, with education being the top one. Where do we see much progress with anything with Santee Cooper this session?
I don't see us passing any effort to sell Santee Cooper as he campaigned in his election for. I see no appetite in the Senate for that. Are there improvements that need to be made? Certainly. And I think we will keep an open mind about that. But the idea of wholesale selling it to a investor-owned utility who will pass those rates and pay this debt on their backs no less than we're going to have to do currently is a false idea. So I'm excited about the tone, the tenor, and so thank you for having us.
Thank you,
sir. Go Myrtle Beach, go Horry County, and thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Chair. I got your majority leader right here.
All right.
Senator Shane Massey, Republican majority leader in the Senate. We were just talking to Senator Rankin, Judiciary Chairman. He said it's interesting to hear this unity speech coming from the governor. Are you guys getting that feeling? Are your members excited about working with the governor, having that kind of ability to be able to reach out to him and give their priorities a listen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the Senate has been willing to work with the governor. I mean, we've all gotten to know Henry McMaster for a while when he was lieutenant governor. Many of us knew him before that. So I think there's a real willingness to work with the governor. None of us really want to be fighting with the governor.
Did anything stand out to you? I was talking to Senator Rankin about this when he really kind of came out, the governor came out and really said no to offshore drilling and seismic testing. I know we've alluded to it before, but it seems like he was really firm with that in his speech tonight.
He did seem to be pretty firm on that. He was firm on a lot of things tonight. I mean, it was a pretty firm speech. It was a fine speech. It was good. You know, the thing that I liked about it, and I think it's important in these types of addresses, is the governor has a strong obligation here to set out a vision for what he would like for South Carolina to be. And I think Governor McMaster did that tonight. A lot of it we've heard before, but it's important because it is his vision and it's important to be consistent in that. Now it's time to do the hard work, and that is to get to work on the details of accomplishing many of those things. And I do think that's the hard part, but I'm pleased to hear the governor say that he wants to work together with the General Assembly, the House and the Senate. And I think if we do that, if we can all work together, then we can accomplish a lot of those things.
And I know we've got plenty of other lawmakers, but I want to make sure. Yeah. I know there's extra money in the budget this year, which also sometimes makes things more difficult.
Yeah.
Are we going to be able to do everything that he said, $200 million in rebates, or is that something that might have to be adjusted going forward? I mean, will we still see that good faith going forward? I know it's very early in this session, but things certainly change as we get closer to May.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a lot of legislators are going to have different priorities on how the money should be spent, if it should be spent at all. But I think it's important, first of all, that the governor set out the vision and to provide some leadership on that, and then we can see how that process plays out. But you're right, we are very fortunate. We have a surplus this year, pretty significant surplus, and there are lots of ideas on how that money should be spent. But you're not going to spend it on good stuff if you don't set out the vision first and then exercise the leadership in order to make sure it's spent in a responsible manner that best serves people. So that's the first start, then we got to get to work on it.
So more work to be done, and we got plenty
of
several weeks left. Thank you, sir.
That's
appreciate
right. Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Gavin.
We got Senate Education Committee Chairman Greg Embry with us. Senator, thanks
hey,
for
Gavin.
Joining us. Obviously, you just took over the Senate Education Committee.
Right.
Big education reform speech, top priority for not only the governor but lawmakers.
Right.
What stood out to you in that speech when it came to education reform? Was it higher ed? Was it trying to get a different formula for K through 12?
The biggest parts, I think, and the most urgent things that we need to reform are the K-12 system and the funding mechanism, and there's substantive changes that need to be made in the system, governance, safety. I mean, there's the whole host of those consolidation that need to be addressed in our K-12 system. You know, quite frankly, our kids aren't, you know, many of our children are not ready to go to higher education. So, you know, I think, you know, it's really not, it's a kind of the chicken before the egg. Well, K-12 is before higher ed. So both need work, but I think there'll be a great deal of focus on K-12 this year.
And what's going to kind of count as a win for lawmakers, for the governor this year? Is it getting just teacher pay raises? Is it getting some of these funding reforms done? Seems like more.
I wouldn't expect to get the funding reform done. I think that's a two-year project. It's a major, major lift to get through that. I think teacher pay raises will be the biggest financial win that we can look for this year, and I think that's very doable. It's not easy, but it's doable. I think the second part is on the reform package, the more substantive reforms in the system. You know, as many of those as we can get are all wins. I mean, so all those are steps in the right direction. So it's and wins really for the kids. You know, that's our main.
A lot of his priorities too, are those in line with maybe the Senate and also the Education Committee's priorities? You know, money for economic development in rural school districts. How do you feel about a lot of his priorities aligning with, you know, the Senate's priorities?
Well, I think they're essential. I mean, they're essential. Both the Senate, the House, really are you know, rural areas in particular. We've got to get some economic development into those struggling areas because, quite frankly, an education system cannot drive an economy. but an economy will drive an education system. So it is for long term, if we're going to have long term health in those communities, we've got to have economic development.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Gavin. Good to see you.
And we got Representative Bill Taylor. I don't have my cell phone on me. I'm not texting right now, sir.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Put your cell phone down and just drive.
Exactly.
So drive this TV camera.
Sir, tell me a little bit about what you thought of the governor's speech tonight and what stood out to you, maybe your constituents back home.
Henry McMaster is certainly an uplifting governor. You know, he says South Carolina's red hot. It is. It's red hot in every way. Well, it's red in politics, too, but it's red hot. I mean, the economic development, all that we're doing. But most importantly, he is a man that wants bold action now, and he's willing to work with the legislature. He was at lunch with us yesterday. He tells us what he needs, what he wants, how to support us. That's refreshing here. There's no clashing of the governor's office and the legislature. We're one team, South Carolina. You know, he went through the things that are really, really important. Bold education reform. We can get this done. We really can. Not next year, this year. Get it done this year. He talked about tax reform on the tax reform committee in the House. We can get that done as well. We just have to have the courage, the fortitude to move forward on all these levels. He brought up pension reform, which isn't talked about much here. Highly important that that get done too. Henry McMaster, in that speech, as he has done with his inaugural address, as he did on the campaign trail, he sees a bright, bold future for South Carolina, and he's willing to lead us. I have said in introducing him on several occasions at big rallies, I said, let's hearken back to the days of Carroll Campbell, working with the legislature, getting things done. Mm-hmm. That's Henry McMaster. Mm-hmm. He's going to get stuff done here. Good stuff for this state and good stuff for our citizens.
And the lawmakers with him. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Appreciate you.
We got Representative Cesar McKnight, Williamsburg County.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
What did you think of the governor's address tonight? A Democrat from Williamsburg County, like I said, a rural area in the state. Did a lot of these ideas, education, strike home for you?
A lot of things that the governor said made me cautiously optimistic. My district is along the corridor of shame. Every bit of it, all of my schools in the corridor of shame. So if the governor is truly committed to fixing our rural school problem, then I'm all for that. I think he is. So it's one of those things where my interest is piqued, and so I'm in a wait-and-see mode. I do think that the rural school districts need more focus, more attention, and more money than the other districts because they've been neglected and they've been so decrepit for so long. I mean, in my home county, Williamsburg County, we haven't built a new high school since 1970. Mm-hmm. So our children deserve better, and they're going to need a little more than everybody else gets. So I'm cautiously optimistic by that. The thing that struck me is what the governor didn't say. He didn't mention about anything about Medicare expansion. We desperately need that because that would put almost 100,000 more people with access to health care. And I also don't like his proposal, which he didn't mention tonight, about having the work requirement for Medicare and Medicaid. I think that's a bit punitive, and I think that's something we need to focus, we should step away from. But overall, I thought it was a good speech. The governor has credibility in my eyes because he hasn't done anything yet to make me think less of him, so I'm cautiously optimistic.
Very good. Well, I got another guy from the PD right up next. I appreciate talking with you, sir.
Thank you.
Representative Terry Alexander, it's also his birthday, another Democrat from the PD. Thoughts, takeaways? I was just talking to your colleague, Cesar McKnight, about what this means for schools along the corridor of shame. Did some of this stand out to you, the $100 million, for example, for infrastructure investment for some of these schools in those rural areas?
Well, I'm glad to see the governor's doing that, because the Democrats have been talking about that for years now. We even put highlight on the corridor of shame. And if you're really serious about educating, you're really serious about educating every student in this state, then you're going to invest your dollars and your cents where they are. So we're excited about it. We hope that the other people in the General Assembly will follow suit on the governor in implementing and spending a minimum of $100 million along the corridor of shame.
So, again, I'm hearing from a lot of Democrats and other lawmakers about this unity between the governor's office and the lawmakers? Is this something that is a long time coming?
Well, you know, I think the Democrat has always been pushing for health care, for education for all of our students, for infrastructure in those poor areas. So this is nothing new. This has been our sounding card for years on top of years. Now remember, it has been the Republicans who's been in charge for the last 20 years of the governor's office, the Senate, and the House, and now they're beginning to see, well, we got to do something about these rural areas. So we're excited about them doing. We've been blowing that horn for years now, so I'm glad they finally heard it, and prayerfully they're moving forward in that regard.
Gotcha. Thank you very much, Representative Alexander.
Thank you.
Got Representative Robert Brown up here. How are you doing, sir?
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Good. I was just talking to Representative Alexander about education reform. Was that maybe a top issue that you heard from the governor's speech tonight?
Most certainly. I think it is the top issue, not only for the governor, but for many of us. You know, that's an issue that the Democrats have been crying for, fighting for years. And now that the governor is focusing on it, I think we're really going to get something done that will give a high level of education for all of our children across the state. Badly needed, and I'm delighted he's with us.
And then also higher education reform and student debt. Is that also a top issue for Democrats and for lawmakers?
Well, yeah, and I'm just happy to hear the governor's focus in on that again. And education is key for economic development. I mean, great high-paying job, which is what we need. And the governor also focused on economic development. I would like to see him spend money on the I-95 corridor, the corridor of shame, economic development, which would bring in much more jobs and improve education across the state. And I must say, I agree with the governor's position on no drilling on the coast of South Carolina. We don't want it. We don't need it. Why should we destroy a $20 billion industry with 600,000 jobs? It's not good for the state.
Gotcha. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. We got Representative David Mack. How are you doing, sir?
How are you?
Good. Just want to hear what your takeaway was from the governor's speech tonight. Obviously, it sounds like education's been a big one. A lot of people have been saying that healthcare wasn't mentioned. What was in the speech that you liked, and maybe what wasn't in the speech that you didn't like?
No, it's a good speech. We have to see what'll happen. It's the speaker and the governor, since we first got back, was driving education. I think the business community has really gotten under the Republican Party that this is important, this is critical. And as a Democrat, I'd like to say just welcome to the party. Great to have you there. We have to really get to work and do some serious things. We're talking about a shortage of school teachers. We're talking about a shortage of truck drivers. We're talking about a shortage of health care workers. And the thing that really should scare us nationwide, a possible shortage, they're predicting a shortage of airline pilots, which could cripple the world. So we're going to have to check the funding, figure out how to, first of all, pay these teachers properly and get the resources into the rural schools to do what it should do. From a healthcare standpoint, Medicaid expansion. We did not do that. It's still hurting us. Not only is you're talking about keeping people well, you're talking about 50,000 well-paying jobs, which drives the economy, which helps education. So as we move forward, we're all singing on the same out of the same hymn book. We have to make sure logistically we're doing the right thing, because the Republicans' interpretation of what's good for education and the Democrats, our interpretation of what's good for education, could be totally different when you get to the nuts and bolts. So we'll have to get to the details and see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And Representative Wendell Gilliard from the Charleston area.
Yeah.
Representative, we heard the governor again talk about school resource officers in schools. I know school safety is a big issue for you. Is that something you support? What else did you maybe hear in the governor's speech that stands out to you?
Well, first of all, I thought when he did his State of the State, the first thing he should have opened up with was a prayer. A prayer for all these 800,000 plus federal employees who are out here starving and standing in food lines. He did not do that. Secondly, how can we have a State of the State address when we can't even have a State of the Union address? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And people have to understand one thing. When it comes to these teachers in the state of South Carolina, we have an exodus. This is serious. Okay, so giving 5% across the board for these teachers, no, that's not going to stop that mass exodus. They need 15% across the board, okay? If we're going to keep piecemealing this with these teachers, South Carolina is going to lose, okay? Mm-hmm. And you have to understand that I'm from Charleston. I'm from District 111. Mm-hmm. We had a tragedy in my district. The world came together with us. I'm asking for a hate crime bill in the state of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, it has no physical impact. You know, it sends a message. You know, and it creates to the world that we're serious when it comes to these hate crimes. South Carolina, we're in the line now up to the top when it comes to these new hate groups that are being created in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And this is a serious issue. So we have to be real about the things that we want to do. I was proud to hear about the harbor. Of course, you well know the state port is in my district, mm-hmm. and that's about jobs. I'm down with that. Advanced manufacturing. I had introduced a bill when I first came to the State House to put in all the public schools in their curriculum advanced manufacturing.
So now he's talking about getting aligned with the Democrats and yours. So
they're falling in mm-hmm. line now. I'm glad that they're on board with education. It took them a century to come around, you know, and I give them their kudos. That's what we're about. Have to work together.
I got to cut you off there, Representative Gilliard.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Got Representative Joe Jefferson here. Wendell Gilliard did a lot of talking for us.
Yes.
I think he might have something, any additional things to maybe say if you ever heard some of his conversation, what struck out to you from the governor's address tonight?
Well, I thought he did an outstanding job. I would have loved to have heard him talk a little bit more about the increases in teacher salary.
The 5% that he proposed.
The 5%, which comes to, according to his recommendation, $155 million. Mm-hmm. I am proposing some tax increase, more specifically with the cigarette tax, because that's needed. And if you were to put some tax increases on that, my plan would generate about $248 million, mm-hmm. which is about what the teachers really need to be satisfied.
Gotcha.
And this is what we're looking for. Overall, I thought it was good. He had some very good comments to make. I think we ought to keep Santee Cooper. Yeah. We certainly don't need to mess with those people. They're doing a good job. A lot of employees
there. A lot of moving parts
there.
A very complex issue nonetheless, too. So something that would take a lot of time as well. Going forward, it sounds like we heard from the Senate Judiciary Chairman saying that there's no interest really, at least in the Senate, to sell Santee Cooper. So.
Which is very good. Yeah, we need to have Santee Cooper around. I think they're doing a great job.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
I got Representative John Moore, Jay Moore. How you doing, Representative Moore?
How you doing?
Good. Tell me your initial thoughts on the governor's address tonight, state of the state address.
Well, I mean, I think my initial thoughts are I'm cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. He said a lot of things that I agree with, and there's a lot of stuff that he left on the table. Those are my initial thoughts.
Gotcha. Anything in education, for example, the 5%, some of your colleagues are saying it's not enough. Do you think it's a good starting point?
Well, it's a good starting point, but it's a little too late for that. I mean, what we should have done this 20 years ago, and we need to do something dramatic. Teachers need at least 10%, 15%. And we can do it. It's just what the priorities are. So, definitely. I think it's a good start, and I'm glad that he's pushing that. We can should be doing more.
So,
what I mm-hmm. did like that he said is he talked about mental health in school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm passionate about that. I have two bills right now, House Bill 3257 and House Bill 3258. And those deal with mental health awareness courses in school and also having trained professionals in school working with teachers and employees at the schools.
Gotcha.
So I was very, very excited about him talking about that tonight.
$2.2
million. That's right. That's right.
Gotcha.
For 50 employees this year, this coming year, mm-hmm. and continuing to, we have all schools by 2020 have a mental health professional there.
Gotcha. Well, mm-hmm. thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. We got some more of your colleagues up here next.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Representative Marvin Pendarvis, I think he's, are we live on another phone right now?
Social media.
Social media is taking over. Representative Pendarvis, some initial thoughts for you. You've only been in legislature for a few years, two years now?
Okay,
so your second speech from the governor.
That's right.
What was this any different from what you heard from him last year?
To be honest with you, no. The only difference is that he's talking about education now, which I appreciate. The teacher raises, that's important. The increase to per pupil funding, that's important. The attention to mental health awareness in our schools, that's important. One of the things that I wish you would have talked about, and I think it's important, is we've got to talk about our affordable housing crisis here in South Carolina. As we, you know, one of the things that Governor McMaster likes to say is South Carolina is winning. And particularly it's winning, he says, is because we've got a business-friendly climate that attracts a lot of business here because of our tax breaks. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, if they're going to visit you, if they're going to set up shop here, and that means they're going to bring their families here and they're going to educate their children here, what we've got to do is make sure they can live here, mm-hmm. and that they've got some adequate living, some workforce housing to be able to live in. And that's one of the things that we've been lacking in South Carolina and one of the things that we have not been talking about as a state. I think we're behind the curve and we're going to find ourselves in a situation where we're going to be wishing that we had done something about this sooner. And so that's what I would have loved to have the governor talk about. One other thing is he talked about the surplus and the money that's coming in, and he wants to be able to give that back to the taxpayers. I'm not against that unless we make sure that we take care of core government functions.
Gotcha. So not using all that $200 million to give back to people, but maybe put it towards deferred
maintenance. Absolutely. If we've taken care of what we need to as a government and as a General Assembly, then I'm fine with giving it back to the people. But I don't think we've taken care of education. I don't think we've taken care adequately of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've taken care of the things that as a General Assembly, as a body, we're supposed to be taking care of. We've not done that. And so until we do that, that's when we can give the taxpayers back their money. But until that we do that, we need to use that money to go towards furthering the advancement of South Carolina. And, gotcha. And until we do that, then that's when we will give the money back.
Well, appreciate your input. We got another one of your colleagues
always,
coming up here.
Always good to see you. Thank you.
Representative Justin Bamberg. The governor said South Carolina is red hot. Do you agree with his statement, his take on the state of the state?
You know, I think he raised a few good points. Quite frankly, I was pleased to hear some of what he said because it's some of what we've been saying. You know, I've been here going on 6 years, and it's some of the same points we've been preaching. You know, focusing on education, you know, investing in this state. Yeah, so some good, some bad, you know, but overall I think he did a good job, and just looking forward to working with him, and hopefully he'll stand behind everything he pointed out.
And another thing he's kind of alluded to most recently when he rolled out his executive budget was the role that his Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evans can be playing in working with lawmakers. I know she was on the floor the other week in the House. Do you think that that's going to be a benefit to have maybe the executive branch nearby so you can talk about some of these priorities and kind of maybe work closer with the governor's office?
Yeah, I think it's always a good idea when the different branches of government can work together for the common good of the people of South Carolina. And I think that most of us in the House, whether you're Republican or Democrat, want to work with the governor's office, right? We may differ on the way to get there a lot.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, I mean, we welcome her over there. I'm down to talk to her about anything. We're at a point now where South Carolina is just over talk. We need to get things done. And hopefully we'll be able to do that.
And I think we'll see that in the next 15 weeks when push comes to shove. So, something to look forward to, but it sounds like there's a lot of unity going forward, so we'll see that going forward. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We got Representative Max Hyde. Good to see you, sir.
How do you do, Gavin?
Good, good. Tell me your thoughts on the governor's speech tonight. A lot of hot takes here so far. Governor's saying the state's red hot. What are your thoughts on the state of South Carolina right now?
I'm so proud of the governor. I thought that was a 12 on a 10 scale, a strong message about a strong state by a strong governor. He means business. He knows the people. He knows the issues. And I love the breath of fresh air of a collaborative spirit working with the General Assembly, partnering to move the state forward, particularly with the upstate. And I represent part of Spartanburg County. We're concerned about the workforce development, talent development gap. The governor mentioned we have over 64,000 jobs without people, which leads to comprehensive educational reform. I'm very excited about working with the governor to hone in on what are the core holistic education issues that can change the trajectory for the state, both with the quality of living as well as the higher paying jobs.
Gotcha. So yeah, definitely the workforce development issue being key with education. Obviously, it's you can't have one without the other, so a lot remains to be seen.
It's a reciprocal relationship. I'm bullish on the future. I'm excited about South Carolina. We need sunshine for ethics, and the sun will keep shining on this great state. Thank you so much,
Very
Gavin.
Good. Appreciate it, sir. Representative Annie McDaniel. Annie McDaniel, good to see you, ma'am.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing, ma'am? What were your thoughts on the governor's speech tonight? We heard a lot about education. We just heard about ethics reforms that some of the lawmakers want to see. Anything that stood out to you tonight?
Yeah, overall, I thought it was a good speech. A lot of the things that he mentioned in the speech are things that we've been advocating for a long, long, long time. My only disappointment is that we've waited so late to address those issues. Mm-hmm. And I think if we had addressed them a long time ago, it probably wouldn't take as much funding as it's now going to take. And I think we probably would not have lost so many of our students. And not necessarily lost them, but, you know.
And they, teachers as well, perhaps.
Exactly, and teachers. They're not where they would have been had we addressed this much, much, much sooner. The thing that disturbed me the most was the removal of school boards. I'm an 18-year veteran school mm-hmm. board member, and we receive appropriate training as school board members. School board members are elected, so it concerns me that one body is able to produce legislation that would remove or replace a body that the people have elected.
Yeah.
And for me, if you're not satisfied with those that you have elected, then the people should be the ones that remove them, because we're compromising our democracy and our democratic process, and I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah, and that's something we've heard from the superintendent of education to some lawmakers talking about bills that could, you know, reform, make maybe more transparent some of these school boards. Is that something that you would be on board with, just giving more clarity and maybe transparency about school boards in general, not necessarily getting rid of them if they feel like they should?
Exactly, because the school board members are responsible for setting policy, and most of that policy comes up through administration. So when you remove the school board members, are you removing the people who are actually causing the problems?
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to understand is that we have not fully funded education, so a lot of the school districts where the takeovers are occurring or in those areas where we have not adequately funded. Now, I do like the fact that they are going to look at the funding formula, but I'm saddened that we are looking at EFA when EFA was weighted. Mm-hmm. It includes weighted for the poor districts, and we have never fully funded it. So I think if we had fully funded the EFA and then it not produced the results that we wanted, then we should change it. But we never fully funded, and I think that's a problem. But let me mention real quick one bill that I introduced as a freshman legislator that I was able to get passed today, and that is the E-rate funding mm-hmm. that comes from the federal government. It's my contention that if we can ask the FCC to reduce the restrictions on those funds when they come to the school districts can have an option to utilize them for other telecommunication opportunities, such as our students who mm-hmm. may not have internet access at home, mm-hmm. if they have the Chrome notebooks or the laptops, then they can have the telephone service where they can access the internet when they get home. And that kind of helped level the playing field for students who have internet access and those who do not.
Very good. Well, yes. Appreciate your input, ma'am. Thank
All
you.
All right, okay.
We got Representative Jerry Govan. Good to see you, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Always welcome to see you on the show. Tell
yeah.
me your thoughts on education. We've been talking about education reforms. A lot of your colleagues have been talking about. What are your thoughts on what the governor's laid out tonight?
Well, you know, it was really exciting to hear that after some 20 years, and I've been here 26, to finally find a Republican leader that really seems to be serious about public education in this state. He said some good things, but of course, the devils are in the details, mm-hmm. and we need to look at to see whether the numbers match up. The only thing I'm disappointed in is I wish he had said that we were going to be willing to change the state's constitution from minimally adequate to high quality.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important for a long-term commitment that goes beyond this General Assembly and this governor. But overall, it was an upbeat message, and we look forward at the Legislative Black Caucus of talking to him about the details when he comes in February.
And he said in his inauguration address, too, to get rid of the corridor shame will be a distant memory. He echoed that again tonight. Is that something that you see the governor being able to accomplish?
Well, South Carolina has always been a tale of two interstates, the I-85 versus the I-95 corridor. And I think it's absolutely important that for that to happen, there are some things, key reform measures that need to be made. And I can tell you as a professional educator and someone who's dealt with this issue a long time, you know, it's going to take a little bit more than what I saw tonight. We need to flush out some things. Speaker of the House, he mentioned, and Senator Hembree, he would work with them. I would hope that he would take advantage of the tremendous talent that we have on the Democratic side of the aisle, and particularly in the South Carolina Legislative Black Caucus, where we have educators, school board administrators, board members, and people who have dealt with this issue professionally for their careers, and let's sit down and see if we can have a dialogue of some substance and see if we can really make a difference.
It sounds like it might be going that way. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your input on this.
Thank you.
And that concludes ETV and South Carolina Public Radio's live broadcast coverage of the governor's 2019 State of the State address. From all of us here at ETV and South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Gavin Jackson. Thanks for tuning in, and good night.